Welcome to the Payments Podcast, where we talk to innovators about how they're reinventing, reimagining, and recreating the payments ecosystem.
Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Chuck Harris, who is the president of Netspend. Hi, Chuck. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Karen.
So I thought it would be a good opportunity for us to catch up and get the scoop on the prepaid market space, given that you guys are doing so well in the space. And one of the questions that I wanted to ask you relates to a discussion I had with the Fed not that long ago. They released a report recently on consumer payments habits. And one of their big insights was the growth in prepaid. But their big growth is on a very, very small base. So it's a little misleading to talk about the growth of this business without really looking at the context, which is that it's such a very, very small part of the market for payment after all the years that it's actually been available. Why has it been tough for prepaid to get a foothold in the payments market?
I guess I'd probably answer that a couple ways. One is, from I guess it's all relative to your perspective. We've had I think about a 24% CAGR over the last 5 years, so it hasn't felt slow growing to us. But I get your point. I guess one point I'd make is the growth has occurred even with the entrance of new players like Chase and Amex and others. And I think you can make a case the whole category has continued to grow because all the players are still growing even with the new entrants. But I think, the spirit of your question really, and it goes to a couple of points. One is, the category is fragmented. There's a lot of different use cases for prepaid in it. So there's different segments within that. The segment we tend to focus on really are those who are seeking sort of a bank alternative, for lack of a better term. And they are consumers who are very habitual in their sort of cash economy habits, and it's challenging to really re-educate that consumer on what the alternatives are. So much of our work has been how do you reach those consumers? How do you communicate to them? How do you really get them to try something new and perhaps foreign to them? And it's a very hard behavior to change. We've done it really by trying to find multiple routes to that consumer. So we have a sort of a direct business. And we partner with alternative financial service companies, check cashers. We've stood up a retail channel. We also try to do it with employers. So our strategy is to get to them through those various channels. But I think, to your point, most of the legwork for all of us in the space has been, we've been niche and small companies growing into the category. And I don't think we've really seen, I think the exciting thing really for us now is we've done a lot of work to sort of lay foundation and create products and stand up distribution channels. And you've got some real interesting sort of external forces that, to use your term, might ignite the category. And I think about what the government and their role in that. And so you've got, Obamacare, the Affordable Health Care Act that, has some real interesting things in there that would drive perhaps our consumers to seek an electronic way to pay. You've got just the government march to eliminate paper checks. And then, of course, with an election coming up, you start to hear more and more about sort of an immigration bill that might bring, tens or 20 million new consumers into the financial system. So to your point, I think the way I think about the market is we've laid some good foundation, and now you've got real exciting sort of catalysts that are on the horizon. That's sort of a loaded spring, if you will, that could really help drive growth on a much higher level. So that's from a high-level perspective how we think about the category and sort of the growth dynamics of it.
One of the things that's interesting about the segment of consumer that you're targeting is their interest in using cash. And to your point, it is very hard to get people to change their behavior, especially since cash has the advantage of being so tangible. Do you think that mobile, when used with these prepaid products, will help deliver a little bit more tangibility to a digital product that may, without that added element, would have made the product seem too intangible for people to feel comfortable with?
That's interesting. I guess perhaps, I mean, we kind of think about mobile really sort of on two levels. First of all, I think just the notion of intangibility and cash, I mean, the payment preferences, folks' payment preferences are shaped, you know, by a complex of, like, cultural and economic issues. So that's, you know, there's, I think, a lot wrapped up into that answer. But, you know, as we think about mobile, I really think we think about it a couple ways. First, it's really a new way to manage your money. And so our consumers are very focused on control and a mobile device and sort of access to their money in terms of, you know, text alerts or apps that might give you a greater control, access and control. I do think that sort of adds to the sort of tangibility that you might get with cash. And another interesting kind of concept there that we think a lot about is, you know, if you think about the consumer we serve, a mobile device sort of, if you will, really gives them access to kind of the digital economy. And I mean from web browsing and apps that they can download. And so I think what we're really excited about is how, you know, the intersection between mobile or apps on phones and e-commerce and a GPR user. And that intersection is very interesting. You've got a lot of companies now coming in and building things, you know, Uber apps. You know, it's hard to load cash into your Uber app. So we think about mobile as a way to really liberate, if you will, and bring much greater access to the sort of things that we've taken a grant for from an e-commerce perspective to our consumers. So I think there's a lot of ways that mobile can help drive growth in our category.
It's interesting because one of the competitors to prepaid is cash, and there are a lot of entrepreneurs that are trying to use innovative techniques to make cash digital at the retail point of sale so that consumers can shop online, settle in cash, pay their bills in cash. Have you heard from any work that you've done in surveying your consumers that that is a preference, or do you feel that that's a source of competition for the prepaid segment overall?
Our consumers, we do a lot of research with consumers. They don't describe their challenges that way. I mean, they think about our consumers generally talk to us in terms of, you know, money outcomes they seek. How do I get my money faster? I don't have enough money. How do I pay this or that bill? How do I lower this or that cost? You know, those sort of things. And so most of the dialogue we have with our consumers are about specific problems in their life that they're trying to solve. And sort of digitizing cash at the point of sale isn't a problem they present to us very often. And so we haven't spent a ton of time on it. I do think, though, that our consumer clearly recognizes the need to have an electronic way to pay for things. And so whether that's you know, renting a car or shopping online or that sort of thing. So I do think what's incumbent upon us is to continue to think about ways to remove friction for our consumer, and it comes in a lot of different forms in the way they use our product. And that's, you know, using data, easier to use applications on your phone, you know, working with retailers on sort of how they handle, you know, because sometimes GPR gets handled differently by, for example, hotels and rental car companies. And so they're solving those kind of problems are what they generally present to us as things they'd like us to work on, and that would be meaningful for them.
Gotcha. So let's stick with that for just another minute and talk about where you think the category overall needs innovation. You talked about sources of friction. Are there any that really bubble to the top of the list and cry out for an innovative solution? And if so, what are you guys doing to address that?
Yeah, I think across the board, everything has to get easier to use for them. And so we we think we've, from at least a NetSpend perspective, we think we've built a pretty feature-rich product set. Not by any means done, but we're not spending as much time thinking about what are the next four or five products we're adding to the platform. There's one or two or three we'd be thinking about. But really, it's how do we make the whole experience easier? And so how do you make it easier to use the product? How do you make it easier, for example, to pay a bill? And we use data, our in-house source data or third-party data to make that easier. We think about how can we make it easier to attract distribution partners. So we've built an innovative, what we think is a pretty innovative use of our technology to expose APIs to our partners and make it easier for them to sort of attach themselves to our platform. And so making it easier for them. Then we continue to look at just sort of extending sort of the core financial proposition of the platform. So the product features around short-term emergency cash and some of the financial problems that that our customers face. So I think across the board, it's about ease and how do we make things easier and remove friction from the product and basically using the product and acquiring the product.
So Chuck, it's been about a year since the announcement of the TSYS acquisition, and this summer will be the official one-year milestone of the completion of the acquisition. What are some of the things that you guys are able to do now that wasn't possible before the acquisition, or perhaps you're able to accelerate because you're part of the TSYS platform? Can you give us any examples?
Sure. Well, I think sort of at the top, I think we've, you know, almost every sales call we went into prior to the acquisition, you know, there was always a buzz in our industry about consolidation. So clearly, we don't have to answer that question anymore when we're talking to prospects. And having a nearly $6 billion market cap parent provides a lot of comfort to distribution partners and others that we're talking to. So that has certainly made that conversation a lot easier. But really, I mean, for us, there's kind of it really speaks to the sort of the way the integration has gone. And TSYS has taken a fairly light hand in how they've integrated us. They've allowed us to retain the brand, encourage us to build a brand, frankly. We've retained all our home offices. We've got the management team still intact. And they've really set it up for us to sort of pick what we think are sort of best-in-class services that TSYS might offer to our business. So we've outsourced, for example, some of our card production for tax season. We're instrumental in helping us meet volumes this year in tax season. So I think, and then of course the distribution that they open up to us in terms of the bank customers and the merchant customers are extraordinary. So we're spending a lot of time meeting with TSYS banks and merchants and exploring new ways to deliver GPR through, you know, TSYS as a channel. So it's been really great so far.
Well, it's been really great to be able to catch up with you, Chuck, and get a little bit more insight about the market generally and specifically what NetSpend is doing to really capitalize on it. Congratulations on all of your great growth, and we look forward to continuing to stay in touch as you work through the sources of friction that you described to make access to these important financial tools available to consumers. So thanks for joining me.
Yes, it was great talking to you.
Thank you.
Take care.